Welcome to Salam Nerds Podcast.
All right, guys, you ready for your first EDM festival?
Let's go! Woo!
My first EDM festival. Yo, 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 it's the Salam Nerds. My name is Dean, a.k.a. Watch the Needs. I'm here with my boy, Jess. Yo, what's up? We got some new friends up in here.
Thank you to our supporters. Please like, comment, share, and subscribe.
Yo, 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 Salam Nerds. This is your boy Neebs, aka Watch with Neebs, and I'm here with my co-host Jazz, aka the Jazzasaur.
The Jazzasaur.
You like that, right?
The Mythosaur. The Mythosaur. Oh, yeah, that was so beautiful.
Oh, man. That's going to be fun. Listen, Jazz. Today is not about you. Today is International Women's Day, and we are going to celebrate two badass women. One, Bo-Katan, who we're going to talk about in depth. Next, we have our auntie Tia. Tia, welcome to the podcast. How are you?
Hi, guys. I'm doing great. How are you guys doing? Hope everybody's good. Thank you for having me again.
We missed you. Of course. You're our resident Star Wars expert, man. We love you.
Not for me, but you know.
Yeah. How you been? Tell us a little about you. What's going on? How's life?
Everything is good. You know, same old, trying to keep warm in this New Year crazy weather, as always.
Okay, everything is awesome.
Yes, I like it.
I like the nose ring. That looks really cool. I don't know if I noticed that. That newer, I just never noticed it before.
No, I'm like Kevin since like 17. But I always change it. That's why it's always different.
Gotcha. Very cool. Well, thank you so much for joining us, because we're going to have a fun episode today, because we're talking about Mandalorian Episode 3. So this one is going to be a lot of fun.
Episode 2.
Thank you, Jazz. Yes. Look at you, paying attention, as always.
I'm not going to let you get away with anything.
I know. Jazz doesn't let me get away with anything. Except when we're talking about the bastard. Then Jazz just zones out. Oh, man. This is going to be good. I am loving this show so far. Can you believe people were like complaining about the first episode? Like, guys, give it a break, man. It just like, why can't you guys just wait for them to set stuff up, right? They want that action and everything immediately. Guys, let the story be told how it's meant to be told. It's crazy.
I mean, it was setting up the tone and, you know, giving us, okay, this is what the season is going to be about. This is what we're going to be doing, this is the adventures that we're going to go in. Like, and then giving us the silly, you know, moments, the comedic moments and stuff. Like, this is Star Wars. Why don't you appreciate that?
I know. You know what it is, man? People don't appreciate Star Wars until there's a new Star Wars that comes out. And they can hate on that. And they talk about how great this was.
Such a vicious cycle, I swear. Oh, my God.
Yeah, what were you going to think,
Chad? I mean, at this point, I'm going to tell everyone who's complaining about Star Wars, yo, just go watch it on TikTok.
Like,
just watch the highlights on TikTok. You clearly do not care about the world building, the story building. Just go watch the action on TikTok.
Go watch the cameo, then call it.
The edits. That's it. Just go watch the edits. You're good.
Right. Go watch the reels where it's like half the episode and the bottom half is like somebody cooking a cake or something.
What is up with that? Every TikTok is like half like Subway Surfer or someone building a cake. Like, it's so weird.
Yeah.
That's what I've been seeing there lately, too. I'm like, okay, what's the point of this?
I have no idea.
It's a distraction, because your brain's like, huh, let me listen in while watching this other thing. And so more people just stay engaged because of it.
Yes, that is.
Yeah, it's really stupid, and everybody keeps falling for it.
Come for the star.
And so whenever I see them, I'm like, ignore, block, see less. Like, I don't want to see this.
No, it's more like, come for the Star Wars, stay for the cake.
We got cookies on the dark side.
I know. All right. Well, speaking of edits.
Some damn good cookies.
Speaking of edits, how about the edits of Daddy, a.k.a. Pedro Pascal? Man is killing it, man.
I can never get tired of. I could stand TikTok just watching his edits.
Fair. Oh, man. So let's start talking about the episode, man. This episode was pretty good. Yes. I was enjoying it. So Mando stars in this episode called The Minds of Mandalore. So I'm like, oh shit, they're doing this already? I thought he was going to go on a few more escapades before he goes to Mandalore. Second episode, they just dropped us into Mandalore, and I'm like, oh, crap, this is what they're doing?
I love it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So great.
I thought this episode was going to be like him trying to go get the circuit board or whatever for like 11. That's why when the first episode happened, I was like, oh, well, there goes his first side mission.
Yes.
You know? Trying to go get them. But immediately the first episode, okay, boom, we resolved the droid issue.
Yep.
Yeah, he got one. And then bam, straight into the mines. I'm like, all right, we're going then.
Like, we thought we knew what was going to happen. They're like, psych.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got you.
Instead, we have a non-canon Jedi added into the whole thing. And
well,
it just blows my mind. Because I don't know if y'all know this, but R5,
yeah,
in one random comic, right? I can't even remember what it was. It's not canon by any means. But in this comic, R5's a Jedi.
No way. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That is so funny.
Listen, I love that he is a android with a lot of anxiety. He's like, no, I don't want to go.
He's like, oh my God, I can relate to him. He's just like 3PO.
Exactly.
Nerves.
You know what's really interesting? They introduced a holiday. It's called Boonta Eve.
Boonta Eve.
Yeah. I've never heard that before. Is that somewhere from somewhere else, or is it brand new for this?
No. I've heard that before.
You have? Okay. I don't think I recall
and
that.
Tatooine. That's a Tatooine thing, yeah.
Oh, okay. It's like Boonta Eve, and I was just like, oh, that's cool. I like how they had the mechanic steal the part and then sell it back to the guy.
Yeah, Joe. I was like, yeah, Penny is such a scammer.
She's so good.
She's awesome.
I love the way that she treats Mando so differently. She was like, it's you. Yay, how's everything working? She gives them all the good parts. But then she's like, but wait, where's my little guy?
It's my baby. Where's the baby?
She loves Grogu.
That mom instinct.
Yeah.
The mom instinct kicking in.
Absolutely.
It's like, oh, You're a single dad? Okay, I'm going to do whatever I can to help you out. I love you.
I like when she goes like, was that his first word? Did he say my name?
She was so proud. She's like, oh my God.
Oh my God. It's so funny. I really, really liked it. And then basically, she sells him the droid. He doesn't really want it. He wants to go on a side mission and get the one droid that he actually respects and he actually likes. But it looks like that's not going to happen. So it's so interesting for that side mission to be like, well, nothing came out of that. So I think that's really interesting where they just kind of just flipped it on us. I don't know if they'll ever go back to that story or what, but it was really interesting to see him just be like, okay, set him up in the ship and we're ready to go. And part of me was sad. I was like, oh no, Grogu's little seat is being compromised.
That's a different seat, though, isn't it?
I don't know.
That's the thing where Grogu is sitting. Yeah.
Yeah. Poor Grogu.
Rip.
I know. But I love the way he's teaching Grogu everything. He goes like, you have to be able to navigate. And then when he goes to Mandalore, he goes, that's our world. He didn't say that's my world. That's the Mandalorian. Yeah. World. He says that's our world.
That's our home world. Yeah.
Oh,
he said.
Man.
I was like, oh my God.
He's one of us. He's one of us.
And I didn't know that Mando was from Concordia.
Yeah, Concordia.
That surprised me,
yeah,
too.
Yeah,
because
it wasn't mentioned or brought up in any of the other seasons, right?
No, it wasn't.
It wasn't.
Mm-hmm. No.
He's actual Mandalorian.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I thought he was just like some random orphan they found.
Yeah,
but no,
exactly.
He is. And I think that was really, really interesting. And then they talk about, like, this is where we met Bo-Katan. This is where I was born. And this is where the planet was. And then they're just like teaching him all these things, and like Grogu learns, like he's listening. He can't talk, but he listens.
Oh yeah,
I mean,
he's very 60, perceptive,
like,
you know.
Yeah, yeah, he's very perceptive, which is interesting. And but Ghost, he has a bad feeling about this, and I feel like it's one of those Star Wars thing where like everyone says like, I have a bad feeling about this, and like he was muttering something.
It's the Force.
I know, it's the Force. He had a bad feeling.
He feels it in the Force.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. So they go there. And they go into the cave. Then they send R5 in there first for atmosphere. Turns out you can breathe. So he's like, whoa. And this is great for plot. And this is great for the Mandalorians.
Yes.
So awesome. I was like, that's great. And then they go into the cave. They find a huge city. And then there's giant mutants there, and they're just like fighting each other. And then he brings out the Darksaber and he fights them. Man, struggling with the Darksaber though. He's still struggling.
Yeah. That thing is still heavy on him.
Yep. And they're called Alamites, which is like really interesting. Yeah. And they're like, they were at the, I think, the outskirts of the city.
Outskirts in the swamps. Yeah.
And they're like, if they survive, what else could have survived? And I thought that was really, really interesting. So, Tia, tell us, what are your thoughts about, you know, the whole them going up to Mandalore, finding Mandalore, being able to breathe, and then fighting the alien? Up to that, what were your thoughts?
No, I just love that because we're still getting so much more, like, Mandalorian lore and history, right. And I love that. We're learning so much more. And then I think we all kind of knew that that's what the season was going to be about. It was just going to be all Mandalorian-based. And I love that we're getting, you know, all of this immediately. Like, we don't have to wait on all this information, you know? I love that, you know, Din is treating Grogu exactly like a father figure, which he has been doing, and, you know, teaching him the ways and making sure that he's preparing him, you know, as a Mandalorian. I love that he was wearing his little chainmail under his little costume. It was adorable. And again, interesting. Now we got new creatures, you know, new creatures that we're being introduced to. That's also cool. And I love it that it's, I'm a huge practical effects fan person. The costuming in this season already, two episodes in, and they've been amazing. Like the first episode with the pirates and the captain, you know, Swamp Thing captain and everything was so awesome. And then now with these new creatures, and we see there's like alligator looking animals too, right? Like it was in the background and stuff. It's really, really cool that we're getting all this new stuff.
Yeah, the animatronics and everything reminded me of like the Jim Henson days where like you would have all these parts, and I got that vibe again, and it was really, really cool. And I like what you brought up about Grogu and how he's treating Grogu, because I think like in the beginning, when he first met Grogu, he was treating Grogu as this like random baby he felt sad for. And then in part two, he was kind of treating it like almost like a pet that he had to like return to his rightful owner. But now he actually thinks of it as his son, right? Mm-hmm. And you really see that, and you really feel that in all the episodes. And I really, really like that. Also, shout out to Grogu just hanging out in his stroller. Like the stroller.
I know, he's just chilling. He's like, I'm able to be a little badass even in my little stroller. So
I love his little stroller. Just flies everywhere. I thought that was
the reason Din actually feels that way about Grogu is because Grogu chose to be Mandalorian.
Yes, that is true.
Right. So he's not like, oh, you're my son. Like, no, you are a true Mandalorian. This is the way you chose this.
Yep, absolutely.
Very significant.
No, it's very, very cool. And he gave up training with Luke and learning about Yoda and all that stuff, right? So he didn't get to learn about his kind.
And you could see how Mando also now is like, he's not just being super overprotective with him.
Yeah.
He's giving him more leeway, you know, like, okay, you know, do this and do that, and not as scared as he was in the first seasons and stuff.
You're right.
Now he's like, all right, we got to push you now. We got to make you do stuff.
Yeah,
because like, what we saw when he sent him to go look for Bo-Katan.
Yeah, exactly. He didn't hesitate. He's like, go find Bo-Katan. Mm-hmm. And even when they were downstairs, like he was kind of slowing in his stroller, and he was like, come on. And he's like, come on, catch up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I thought that was really interesting. The other thing that I like that he explains everything to Grogu, or Grogu just happens to like understand it. He's like, he's not even like hesitant. He doesn't explain to him like a baby. He explains it to him like he would anyone else, which is really, really cool. That was really, really cool. But then Grogu leaves, and then we see this like contraption, this like almost like General Grievous looking kind of like.
What I said.
Yeah, I don't know what it was. It was like part droid, part something. Like the only thing he had was an eye, really, right? And that's the only part that was organic. Everything else was like a robot. And it definitely reminded me of General Grievous. And then the Mandalorian gets caught and outsmarted by this person and got his ass kicked. Basically, he turns into like a fire pit. They're just like spitting him. Yeah. And they're taking his blood, which I think is really interesting. I don't know if that's going to come back, because why were they taking his blood? What was that for? I'm very curious to see what that's all about. And then Grogu goes and finds Bo-Katan. And Bo-Katan was not happy. to see his ship. And she was like, this motherfucker again? What the hell? How many times they got to tell him? Like, I'm going to get down once and for all. And then she gets there and she's like, oh crap, it's just Grogu.
It's like, never mind.
Like, download the stuff, find out where he is. And part of me was like, does she want to help him? Or she's like, that motherfucker got the sword. I got to go get that sword, right? Like, what are your thoughts? You think she did it to save him? Or did she really go like, if he's dead, I need to go find that sword?
No, I think she saw, she has a thing, I guess, because I think, after, you know, we kind of see it when she starts talking about how she lost her father when she was young.
Yeah.
And I guess maybe she saw the same thing with Grogu. Like, she didn't, she felt for Grogu. Like, she, like, okay, I can't have this little kid lose his father, you know? Like, I need to go help him out and stuff. But of course, there's always going to be some, there could be some second intention with her as well. You know, obviously, it's to her best interest of, okay, well, if Din's going to die, I can let the Darksaber, you know, get lost again. Of course.
I love how Bo is just, how Bo is always casually sitting on her throne, no matter what's happening. She's just chilling on that throne.
She's like, let me wallow.
That's her safe space.
In this beautiful
she just like she has anxiety. She just goes and like sits on that throne.
Yes.
Oh man, I thought that was really really funny. Also, we got to see Grogu use the Force.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. We see him now being a little bit more assertive. You know, sure himself.
Yeah.
Like as soon as he told them like go find Bo, he just left. He didn't hesitate.
Yeah,
he did nothing. He saw the thing. He was like, immediately he knew to use the Force. And like, yo, get out of my way. I got to go save my father.
Exactly.
So, and he got into that and into the ship and navigate. And I was like, oh my God, Grogu was going to fly.
He did a flip into the ship. Like Yoda used
yes,
to.
Yes. I was like, yo, he mastered a freaking Force jump. That's awesome.
I love that. I love that. Oh, man. Yeah. I love that he used the stroller to get away. All of this while still in his stroller.
He just zipped out in his little stroller.
Love it. Love it. And then he was even getting attacked by those like flying alligators, the pterodactyl alligators.
Oh my God. I was like, poor R5. I was like, no, you can't do this to R5 right now.
Yeah,
we can't lose him already.
Oh, man.
Yeah,
and then, I do love the fact when like, she's like, downloads, Bo-Katan downloads all the information and she's like, oh shit, he's in Mandalore. So she goes there. You can see her like visibly smiling when she sees like the actual land, even though she doesn't 100% believe that it's, you know, okay or everything is ruined.
Mm-hmm.
She still smiles to see it. You can see it in her face. And then she tells Grogu, like, this used to be a beautiful place, you know? And she's like having conversations with them. And Grogu's still a little frightened. He's like, I'm a little worried about going back there, you know? And then she tells him, like, you know, Jedi's and Mandalorians used to be partners. And like you throw back to when she met Ahsoka.
Ahsoka.
Right? And he also met Ahsoka. So they don't know they're talking about the same person, which I thought was really, really cool.
Yeah.
Little do they know.
Yeah. And then she
it's so funny seeing it, like, oh yeah. Like she has no idea this kid's a Jedi.
I know.
She's talking about Jedi so casually.
It's so good too. And she's like, well, it looked like your Force has to be good since you were able to get back here and find us.
Okay.
And she's like, you know, kind of proud of him. She's like, all right, cool. And then she also talks about her family, her dad. And then when she talks about her family, you can't think of like not Duchess Sassine, and you're just like, oh man, give us a flashback, give us something.
I was waiting for them to, for her to at least drop her name. Like, why couldn't you just say, oh, Sassine?
I know.
Especially when she was talking to Mando about, oh yeah, I'm actually royalty. You know, my family used to rule. I'm like, say the name.
Say it. Say it. Oh man, that was really cool. And then she also, you know, runs into those Alamites and she took them down super easily. She was like, once she got that, you know, she took them down super easily. And then when that spider thing came up, yo, she took the Darksaber and she was wrecking it.
Easy work for Bo-Katan. Yo, the way she wielded that Darksaber.
Right. What a gift
beautiful.
To the Star Wars fans on International Women's Day. That's exactly
what I said when I was like, yo, happy International Women's Day. Today was the day for this episode.
Yo, love it. Love she it. Was that such was a so good.
Oh my God.
Amazing.
Yes. She wrecked them. Oh my God. That was so cool. And then we also get to learn that, like, she also took the creed, right? She also did all this stuff. She was like, you know, I wanted to make people happy. Sure, I took the creed. I did all that stuff. I made myself believable. But then she also knew that, like, the planet was dying from the inside. So it's one of those things where she was like, I was this person. I used to believe in this high creed of Mandalore. So I don't know. It's pretty interesting to see what's going to happen now. But she offers to take him back. And he's like, no, I got to finish. I got to go take my bath.
She was even trying to teach him a little bit more history from the little plaque that she was reading. Yeah. He's like, all right, never enough. I got to get in this water right now.
I got to get into this water, man. I got to take my bath.
Yes.
That's all he cares about. He wants to be back with his people, which makes it very understandable. But she said she ruled for a brief time. She was giving him so much background. And I thought that was really, really cool. And she said it was hard seeing our own kind fight amongst each other. And that's how Mandalore fell. It didn't fall because of some, you know, outside threat. Because the Mandalorians were fighting each other. And I feel like that's very interesting because that happens here in a lot of places, you know, when countries have people where they fight each other amongst themselves, divide and conquer. That's how people get in. And I thought that was really, really interesting.
That's how Palpatine was able to defeat them so easily when he came to Mandalore, because everybody was doing their own thing. Nobody was united against it. And then once they finally decided to get together, it was already too late.
Right. The best way to defeat the greatest warriors in the world is to turn them against each other. Right? Makes a lot of sense. Makes a lot of sense. And she talks a little bit about, like, you know, her father died defending Mandalore. So we get to learn about that. And then she talks a little bit about, like, the Mandalore Great Skull and the sigil and, like, what it has. And
I like how it was brought up, like, just casually, you know?
Just casually brought that up, right?
And the myth with the Mythosaur
and
stuff.
And then she talked about the Mythosaur. So apparently there was Mandalore, who was the first Mandalorian, who defeated this Mythosaur. And that's where they get their insignia and all that stuff from. And, you know, he was the head honcho, and he did this. And, you know, as she was doing this, Mandalore starts to go into the water. He starts taking the creed, and he kind of just, like, falls in. And I was like, oh, okay, maybe there's a little bit of a deep spot. But no, he just went whoosh, no, all the way in.
Deep. Like, Mando, you're going in and not even assessing the situation before you, like, keep going.
Yeah.
And you have full armor on. Like, you're heavy as fuck
armor
right now. Hello. Like, sir.
No, man. So, that dude
But I thought it was like maybe something dragged him. But then when I saw how deep that was, I was like, wow.
Yeah. He sank like a rock.
No other word for it.
No other word for it. But the thing is, Bo-Katan did not hesitate. She jumped right into it afterwards. Her rocket was on. She went all the way down. She had to go down deep to get him.
Yeah.
He was knocked out. And then as she's coming up, she sees it. She sees the Mythosaur. And
the eye.
They lock eyes, and they're like, okay.
Yeah, you can even with the helmet on, you could just feel Bo-Katan's expression.
Yo.
Like, of just, like, shock.
I know.
Oh, my God.
It was wild.
It was so good.
So,
that slow head turn.
Yeah.
yeah, exactly. And, like, it happened so fast, and you're like, wait, was that the Mythosaur? Was that something else? Was that an octopus? Was that a squid? I'm like, what is that? Oh, my God.
It was so cool, because as soon as I saw the little tooth thing, I was like, I was like, oh my God. So I think maybe now, because you know how she's always been like, oh, you know, all these the myths and the she's never been into any of that.
Yeah,
but now that she sees the Mythosaur, you know, in the like, do you think that maybe she's gonna be like, well, maybe there is some type of, you know, truth behind all of these legends that I've always, you know, heard growing up and stuff?
She might be going the other way and saying, well, you know what? Here is a way for me not to get the Darksaber and still have the people respect me by killing the Mythosaur, right?
Oh, no. She's definitely She definitely is gonna use that to her advantage.
Yeah,
but I don't know if it in a way of, but I think that's also gonna, because she was paying a lot of attention to what Din was doing.
Yeah,
when he was doing his creed, like when he was doing his ritual and stuff. Yeah, yeah. Like she was like kind of interested. She looked very interested in it. So now she probably, of course, she's gonna see the Mental Sour as a way also to another way to unite the people. Like,
yeah,
look, this is real. It's real. Like we have our you know, our spirit animal, if you want to call it that.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what he is. Mm-hmm. That's why that's their sigil and stuff. Like, oh, this is a sign. Amongst our world is supposed to be dead. Everything is supposed to be gone. And here is, you know, our mythical creature that represents us, and he's here.
Uh-huh.
So if he can endure and he can survive, then so can we. You know, type of mentality.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I totally agree. I think that's a great way to put it. I wonder what it was that made the Mythosaur came back. Was it just like, you know, how they say, like, nature is healing once mankind is not here? Like, one of those.
Yeah, probably. Or maybe he was always there, you know, like they say the Loch Ness Monster has always been there.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's so deep down in those, and I'm pretty sure maybe nobody has ever gone that deep into the waters,
yeah,
you know, because that shit is deep. Maybe it was there the whole time. It was just hiding or something.
We don't know. Yeah, we have no idea. But it was really, really cool to see. And like, so is the Mandalorian atoned? Is he fully atoned now? Is that what's happening? Can he go back to his creed?
All he had to do was take the creed in the waters, right?
How did he prove that? Did he take a selfie?
Maybe. Do they have recording thingies in their helmets their armor and stuff?
I feel like they do, but I'm not sure. I don't remember seeing the Mandalore ever do it, but I have seen other people do it.
Yeah.
Bo-Katan's a witness.
That is true.
Well, armor doesn't matter, care what Bo-Katan has to say.
Also true. Yeah. She's like, also an apostate.
Yeah, you are a heathen.
I know, it's just an apostate, you know, being a witness for another apostate. It's not how it works. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, that's gonna be interesting. What is gonna be their next move?
Unless now they take that plaque, the plaque there with the writing on it. If he takes that, that would be a good way.
That could also be a good way for him to show. Or he'd be like, "Yo, the planet is breathable.
Yeah.
It's fine. Let's all come.
Although he can describe what it looks like, I guess, and say what it is.
But because even she still didn't believe, even when he brought the little piece of the glass, she still was like, nah, it's no good.
No good, right.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But now he could be like, listen, let's go. I can show you that that everything is good and we could actually go to the planet. No problem, you know?
It's so wild. This already happened in season two. He atoned. He got his bath. I'm like, I thought this was going to be like the finale. This happened in episode two. This is like,
I can't imagine what else is going to come. Like, what's going to be, what is going to be the next, you know, big thing that they're going to have to go like fight against or whatever. Like, what do you think could be? Cause I think we haven't seen in the trailers and stuff. We already seen basically everything in these first two episodes.
Yeah,
from
exactly.
What was in the trailer.
It's blown me away, and I love that. I love not knowing what's going on, right? Because we don't have, there's no Grogu storyline. Like, he doesn't have to go back to the Jedi. He got his atonement, and the only thing that's left is to take back Mandalore. But Mandalore is like, basically, there's no one to take it back from. It's empty. So you can just go back, kill the mutants, and you're good to go. So I don't know where the conflict is. It's like wild. They're just hiding it from us, and that's the best thing. We're going to be surprised.
Yeah, it's going to be told, because I don't know. Fighting to get the factions back together, they're gonna get back together, but then if they do, what are they gonna go fight? Like, what's the common enemy, you know?
Right, you can't get the factions together unless they have a common enemy, and the Empire is gone in this timeline, right? So what do they have? Like, they're not fighting against the Jedi's, they're not fighting against the rebels. It's just they're just scattered amongst the stars.
I don't know.
I wonder
what's gonna be. That's crazy. We don't have it. There's no indication of what it is at all.
It's bizarre. I've never seen
it's
a show
so
like have give us like everything we wanted in like the first two episodes.
Yeah, because in this first season, it was Grogu and the mission was Grogu, right?
Yes.
We knew that. First episode, we knew, okay, the whole season is going to be about this little kid
yep.
and him protecting it and all that stuff. Second season, it was about getting Grogu to his people, to the Jedi.
Nice, yep.
That was a mission. Third season, like you said, first episode, we thought that the mission was going to be about him going to atone himself and stuff, but it already happened. So,
well,
now what?
Here's the thing. There were a lot of plot lines that never got answered in season two, mostly about Moff Gideon and also about the clones.
Yes.
Do you think we're going to revisit that?
Probably.
We're going to revisit a lot of things.
Yeah,
man.
I think so too.
Like, I think they're setting up, like, obviously, it's going to tie into Ahsoka. It's going to tie in, you know, who was that character that Emilia Clarke played?
Oh, Kira?
We're gonna see her.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to see her again. Like, I have a feeling they're going to tie up all these things and, like, create a beautiful story that leads into, and I don't know if they're going to retcon the, you know, the new trilogy, but we'll
no,
see.
No, I don't think they have.
No, no. All of this is leading. John Favreau said, I think the other day, that it's all basically going to lead into The Force Awakens. Yeah.
Which makes sense to me, because the biggest, like, cop-out is always, like, Poe coming in and being like, somehow Palpatine returned. He just like says that, right? And I feel like this show had an opportunity to go into detail and be like, you know, Yoda's blood was used to make a clone and to do something.
But see, now I'm going to just deviate a little bit. This is also being explored in The Bad Batch.
Oh, so I haven't caught up on The Bad Batch yet, so I did not know that. But that makes a lot of sense.
Well,
the clones are on there.
And even in more detail, like even like for the beginning of what it was that Palpatine wanted to do with the cloning, it's starting right there with the Bad Batch.
Interesting.
Right. For the record, Bad Batch happened after Revenge of the Sith and before the initial trilogy. So
Right, but where's Mandalorian? Mandalorian is right there in the middle too.
Is after
Empire.
Five years after Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So is that
Bad Batch is happening right after Revenge of the Sith.
Oh, Revenge of the Sith. Okay, right. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. Yeah. I always mix the two up because Return of the Jedi was supposed to be called Revenge of the Jedi. And then that makes a lot of sense. Okay, got it. Yeah. So,
you know, you could actually flip all the names of the Star Wars movies to better represent them.
Yeah. They're the TikTok. Like, Phantom Menace should have been The Rise of the Skywalker, because what's the name of the Phantom Menace? Palpatine.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And then, like, oh my God, what was the other one? The Empire Strike Back should actually be Force Awakened, because that's when the Empire shook back. They took back everything. Right? And A New Hope should have been Force Awakens, because that's when they get A New Hope. Like, it's all there. Right? Oh my God. It's wild.
Yeah.
It
also just shows you how generic these stories are.
I guess. Oh my God. That was, I remember somebody made a TikTok about that and I was like, whoa, that makes so much sense.
Yeah, I remember that.
Oh man. So that's really cool. So yeah, we don't have any idea where the Mandalorian is going because there's so much stuff going on. This episode, Super Grogu is just so cute, man. He doesn't need to do anything and it's just so cute. Like, last episode, he was just spinning in a chair, and I'm like, aw.
Yeah. And you see him flying, his little ears flapping in the wind.
Yeah, I know.
Like,
oh, my God.
So
I love when his little ears are moving. Like, when he's sad or scared, they go down. When he's excited or preppy, he's like, his ears are all up and stuff. So cute.
He's babbling.
But I like
he's babbling a lot more, too, now.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He is. He looks a little bit more grown. Like, he's acting a little bit more grown now.
Yeah.
You know? He's not acting just like a little baby, like when we first saw him in the first season. Like, you could tell that some time has passed.
Yeah.
He's becoming a little bit more open, I guess. Not as, you know, into himself. Yeah, which is understandable because everything that he had gone through, he's basically the whole time been by himself. Of course, he's going to be scared the whole time.
Yeah.
You know? So now he's like being a little bit more sure of himself and like, okay, now I can express myself more, you know?
It's really interesting because he was like acting more like a baby in the earlier seasons and now he's acting more like a toddler, I guess, where he he goes around, he does things, he understands when you tell him to bring this.
Yeah.
So I totally get it. I wonder if we're ever going to get to see Grogu talk.
I'm sure.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
They gave us that little taste. With,
I know.
With
Ben. They gave us a little taste. But like, I wonder if he's going to talk like a toddler, and then he's going to have like full sentences. And like, I don't know. I wonder how far we're going to go.
He's going to definitely talk like Yoda.
Oh, you think he's going to talk like Yoda?
For sure.
Because not everybody. Because
Yaddle didn't talk. Yaddle talked normal. So maybe I heard somewhere that was just a Yoda thing, that it was just something with him that he spoke that way.
They're going to do it for the boomers just to get them back into it. Just watch.
I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah. I don't know. That would be really, really cool.
Yeah.
I don't know what to expect next, but this has been a really good episode. They're just short, though. They're just so short. That's the only issue. Like, I think, like, the first episode was only, like, 37 minutes, including credits. That's wild.
Yeah. And this one was
8 minutes longer or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was it.
I don't know.
It wasn't that much longer.
But it gave us everything we needed. It gave us everything we needed in this episode. So that was really, really cool.
And enough to talk about for a week just to keep the hype.
Yeah. I just wish I knew where they were going, because now I'm excited. Like, I'm super excited. And
it's gonna be a civil war.
You think that's gonna happen? A bunch of clans are gonna come and try to take Mandalore, and they're gonna fight each other.
Yes.
Oh, that's possible.
And they're all gonna go after the Darksaber.
Okay, I can see that, because now that everybody's gonna know that Mandalore is actually good to go, like, they can actually go to the planet, they're gonna be like, okay, so who's taking over the planet now?
All the factions are gonna descend on Mandalore, and this internal conflict is gonna keep happening,
and they're gonna,
then there'll be some external threat, and guess what, who has the Darksaber?
But then I'm pretty sure that they're gonna challenge him for the Darksaber as well.
They all will.
Yeah,
all of them are gonna challenge. And then now with the Mythosaur too, like, who's gonna ride it? All that.
Right,
good stuff.
They're setting it up for a war.
Yeah, I can see that.
Your champion, like an Avatar One, when you, what was it? That flying big bad that he, you know, mind melded with, right? It's gonna happen here.
And the other thing,
calling it now.
Paz Vizsla is also someone who wants the Thord and already challenged him, right? There might be a situation where the Mandalorian. Takes the bath, he atoned, and then he has to pick whether he wants to go back to his creed or stay with Bo-Katan. I think that might be an issue, or he wants to choose neither of them. I think there might be some kind of way, and I feel like, are they ending the Mandalore story? Like, are there not going to be a season 4? They're going to wrap everything up in a tight little bow? I don't know where else they could go. You don't think so?
Oh, no. This can go for a while, man.
Wow.
I expect 6 seasons in a movie.
Well, like, it's going to lead into The Force Awakens, so they can only do so much.
Yeah.
That's why you need the one movie.
maybe. I wouldn't mind seeing, Pedro Pascal in a Mandalorian movie. That would be pretty dope.
Yeah,
I mean,
that
like
would,
they did
yeah.
with Han Solo. Like, why not give one to him?
Yeah, that would be cool.
It's the number one show on Disney, so it's definitely popular. It's probably the most popular. So I love it, and kids love it. It's like a money-making machine, man. You know how Baby Yoda sells out, like, so crazy. My niece has Baby Yoda stuff. Everybody loves that stuff, man.
Yeah.
It's super cool.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Well, listen, any last thoughts about this episode before we go?
Satine's coming back. Calling it now.
From the dead.
Listen, I wouldn't mind a few flashbacks in this season.
I'm kidding.
Yeah. I
really wouldn't mind a few flashbacks.
I prefer flashbacks to cameos, in my opinion. I feel like cameos take away from the story that's happening, but flashbacks only add to the story that's happening.
I mean, if it's going to be appearances, then obviously if it's going to be because they're needed in for the story.
Right, to fill the blanks.
Because it's going to connect with something else, and that's different.
Yeah.
But I think flashback, because I think we've been wanting something with Satine and, you know, something from back then.
I mean, it has to be a flashback. She's dead.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The for the flashbacks, that would make sense. Because we're asking for just a little bit, just a drop of Clone Wars.
Yeah. I mean, that would be cool. I mean, they did a little bit of it in Obi-Wan Kenobi when they showed Anakin and Obi-Wan training. So
yeah.
Never know. You never know.
Yep.
That's going to be crazy. That's going to be really, really good. I'm super excited. Hey, Benji, what's going on? Benji's in the chat.
Benji, hi.
Woo. All right. You're a little late, what's up, though. Benji? We already recapped the entire episode.
And we're actually just about to wrap up.
We already concluded the whole season. Like,
The whole season.
You missed all the spoilers. Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, Dia, thank you so much for being on the show. We really enjoyed having you. You're always our Star Wars expert. We can't wait to have you back for another episode. Also, when Andor comes back, we'll definitely have you on, Andor, because we love that show.
Question.
Andor, Mandalorian. Ooh, what's your pick? What show do you like the most?
I still have to say Andor.
I'm going to say between the two, Andor.
I feel like Andor,
but it's just they're two different types of different stories dives. And tones. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. Andor, because it was just such a different take on Star Wars, different type of storytelling. It was a fresh look on what Star Wars is. So I enjoyed that very much.
The Mandalorian was like a fun ride and everybody enjoyed it, whereas Andor was like philosophical and it was thought-provoking and it really got you to understand why fascism and authoritarian state is wrong, right? I don't think any of the Star Wars really makes you open your eyes and see that. Uh-huh. And the sad thing is, there's a lot of places in this world right now that are like that at the moment. And that kind of opens your eyes a little bit, right? And it's not just like cool gadgets and space, you know, lightsabers. No. There are some real people in this world in a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away that are actually suffering. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why I really like Andor.
It was in a lot of commentary discourse with what we people live in the real life.
Yeah, the prison system, you know, so much.
Prison system, the discrimination, immigration, all of that stuff, you know?
It's
war crimes.
I don't know. Well, and then there's the Ahsoka show that's coming up. There's going to be a lot of stuff there. Oof, that's
going to be very, very Star Warsy.
That's going to be candy. That's going to be eye candy.
Yeah. Because we know Ezra's coming back. We know
Sabine is going to be there. Hera, Chopper.
Oh my God, Thrawn. They may tie in Sabine in this one, actually.
That's possible.
That's what people are speculating, too. Yes, you're right. I have forgotten about the people speculating that Sabine might make an appearance.
Yeah.
And that could tie into Ahsoka even better.
And Sabine.
Because they're probably going to need Mando's help somehow in the Ahsoka show.
Of course. Also, you got to carry that show, too.
Yes, of course. You got to carry Grogu in none of these shows.
Also, Sabine, you have to have the Darksaber.
Yeah,
that's even more nuance to this. That's
so
really
then it's going to have to learn from two women how to deal that dark.
Oh, the international women's day.
I love it.
Love it. We love to see it. All right. Tia, tell everybody where they can find you. Let them know how to find you.
All right, guys. So I'm on Twitter and on TikTok as Star Wars Tia, like my name right here. And on Instagram, I am Kati Skywalker.
All right. Thank you, guys. Definitely look her up. She's amazing. She has great takes. She has great videos. She has great tweets. And thank you for coming on our show on International Women's Day. We really, really appreciate you. All right. And until next time, guys, salam, nerds.
Peace.
Boop.